This is the Infinite Receiving Podcast, helping conscious leaders tap into a wealth of abundance across all areas of your life and business. I'm Susie Ashworth, and I'll be sharing with you how you can upgrade your reality through quantum transformation, because you are ready for infinite receiving.
Hello, you gorgeous human being. It is Susie Ashworth here, and you are listening to the Infinite Receiving Podcast. And I am just going to dive right on in for you today. And we are talking about a theme that is in alignment with the pillar of infinite support. And I am going to tell you, and you have heard many, 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 many times before, that you cannot do it all alone. And it is so true. And the reality is that if you want to increase your impact and you want to increase your income, you are going to need to call in help. It's as simple as that. I remember watching my beautiful friend, Denise Duffield Thomas, Growing Money Bootcamp. I think I first joined it in 2013. And I remember at one point saying, I am capped at 5,000 people. And I've been capped at 5,000 people for a really long time, and I really want to move beyond it. And how she broke through that ceiling was to call in support for the community. She had been subconsciously blocking herself because she was the only person she would allow to be in the community Facebook group. And as soon as she brought in her assistant, community manager, you saw the group growing and growing and growing because she energetically was able to increase her capacity to hold more people. And you see stories like this repeated again and again and again throughout business. I believe that the reason, one of the reasons that I was able to make six figures in my first 2 years, as in when I say my first year, I made minus £14,000. My second year in business, I made £126,000, is that very, very, very early on, I hired a VA and I outsourced the work that I wasn't very good at, which was the administration piece. And this helped me be able to serve more people. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, I hear people saying, you know, people like my old mentor, Melanie Ann Lay, I made my first million with just me in the company. And I think, yay, go you. If you want to do it like that, then you can, but you sacrifice a lot when you do not allow people to help you. And for me, that is out of alignment with what I teach around the wealth trifecta. So yes, we get to work on our leverageable wealth, but we also don't have to sacrifice our intrinsic wealth, like, i.e., it's not safe for me to hire somebody else. I need to do it all on my own. Or our experiential wealth, like, we get to really enjoy life. It's very difficult to do that if you are scaling a business where everything that needs to happen in that business relies on you to do it. So you've got to hire a team. And guess what? Hiring team is one of the most challenging things you will ever have to do. Like, it is so challenging because you are bringing people into the thing that you love almost as much as your own freaking children. Do you know what I mean? You're like, your business is your baby. It's your vision. It's your desires. It's, you know, the dream that you have for the world is coming out of your heart. And so to expect anybody externally to come in and be able to sit in your heart and show up with the same love and intention and just desire to make change in the way that you desire to make change is such a hard ask. And when you're used to doing all of the things that are required, you often feel like nobody else can do this as good as me anyway. Even if I'm not a professional copywriter, if I look at the copy that this copywriter is written, or even the VA who said that she can write sales pages, it's rubbish compared to what I would write because I know my audience, I know my product, I know the transformation better than anybody. The amount of time it takes me to train you up to know it as well as me, I might as well do it myself. Like, that is the attitude. And if you recognize yourself in that, then this is your sign that you need to let go of the reins. However, this episode is not actually about hiring. It's about firing. And some of the lessons, five of the key lessons I have learned over the last 10 and a half years of what it takes and what you need to be aware of when you actually take the step to bring somebody in and it's just not working. And the reason that I want to share these lessons is one, to help you in the onboarding process and just giving you permission to notice what it is that you notice when you have an inkling somebody might not be the right fit. And I also just want to say, like, it is normal to hire people and them not be great. And I think that what I have learned, especially from working with people who are looking to scale their business. So we go from solo entrepreneur to hiring our first VA or salesperson, depending on the model of your business and the price point. And then often you can run your business for a while with just one or two extra people, a contractor here and there. But when you're looking to scale your business from multiple six figures to, say, your first half a million, the team does tend to grow. And people feel like, unless they're getting it right first time, that they're doing something wrong. And I want to say, you're not doing something wrong. Frequently, it takes time, or it takes you kissing a lot of frogs until you find your prince or princess. And that's okay. It's part of the process. But what I want to make easier for you is releasing people that genuinely are not the right fit, that are not going to help you grow your business. And I have learned so many lessons about this. And I think that those lessons I'm going to share with you now, because I want to be able to cut the learning curve for you. And so, yes, this is relevant for you if you are making your first hires. It took me three VAs to find my Sophie. And so many times clients say to me, I need a Sophie. Where can I find a Sophie? It took me three VAs and a lot of heartache. And then when you are like scaling a company, you're going from a kind of solo entrepreneur mentality to actually looking at your business as a company, and there are definitely more than two or three of you, then these lessons are going to be really, really valuable. And so I suppose that this is my first takeaway for you, and that is, hiring a team is challenging. This is not easy. You will make, in inverted commas, mistakes. You will bring people in that you think in the interview, like, yay. And then as soon as they kind of get their feet under the table, you're like, ah. And I want to say that within this kind of takeaway for you is that I was once told, hire for character, you can teach somebody the skills. And what I have learned for me as a small business owner who doesn't have time to train somebody down to the nth degree is that frequently when you hire for character, you hire for people that you think are like you. And you don't need another you. You need somebody who is going to compliment you. So it's difficult to get the hiring for character right. And you, unless you really are willing and have the capacity to spend a lot of time with somebody, hiring for character over skill set is frequently a mistake. Please don't do that. Hire for skill and character. So that is the first thing. It's difficult. And I want you to not fall in love with somebody who is a reflection of you. You don't need another you. You need somebody who can do the stuff that you are not good at, or that you no longer like doing, that needs to be done. Takeaway number two is that as a small business, you are only as good as your weakest link. So if you have somebody who is not showing up in their power, is not showing up and doing the job that you need them to do, you've got to let them go. And I think that for me, particularly in the early years, because I hired people for character and I liked these people and I didn't take it lightly that coming to work for me was like it's a big bet for them. They were taking a risk coming to work for a small business owner and not somebody who was wildly established. And so I would take a lot of responsibility on because of that decision that they had made. I was betting on them, but they were betting on me. So I liked them. I was really grateful that they had bet on me. And even though they weren't able to do the job, I would try to mold the job in order to suit the person. Big freaking mistake. Because what would happen then is that I would end up doing the things that I didn't want to do or wasn't very good at whilst they were creating their dream job on the side. But that isn't what I needed in order to grow the business. And so if you have somebody who really can't do the thing, and it's not that they need training, it's just that who they are isn't aligned to what it is that they need to do, then you have to let them go. I remember having VAs when after I would release them, people would say, oh my God, she was so rude to me. He was like, oh no, I can't believe it. Like their personality meant that they couldn't get my tone. And when I say my tone, I mean culturally, they didn't understand the tone of the company. And so they would be really formal and really corporate, no feeling, no heart, no love. And it's like, no. That was never going to work. But because I was in that space of this person is relying on me, I didn't see it. I overlooked it. And I kind of shifted things to serve them instead of putting the company and the client first. So if you have a weak link, you make sure that you give them the appropriate training. But the invitation is to really look at their personality and ask yourself, if this person has all of the support that they need, can you imagine them showing up differently within this job in the next 3 months? And if the answer is no, you've got to let them go. Third biggest takeaway, the red flags, the things that you are not certain about that come up in the interview will absolutely be the thing that you end up letting the person go for. And so I have got really, really good at honoring the red flags that I see and not actually allowing somebody to get past interview stage, because it's way more damaging to bring somebody into the company and then be like, oh, Golden Bennett, they told me this when I asked that question and I kind of ignored it because everything else looked great. And there's been one exception to that recently. And what was super positive is that when I saw what was going on, then I took action very, very quickly. So there wasn't as much damage done as what there could have been. So really notice if you're like, oh, this person would be really amazing, but the way that they're talking, I think that they would be a better fit for this role over here, but I'm not hiring for that role over here. Don't hire them. Hire for the role that you are hiring for. You know, I think this person would be really, really great, but the way that they're speaking, they're so freaking ambitious. I'm not sure that they're going to want to be here in 6 months. Don't hire them. Hire for the role that you are hiring. Key takeaway number four is make sure that you are clear on your company values. And so for us, our company values are love, contribution, results, and excellence. And when we are having a company meeting and frequently with our individual meetings, the meeting will start or end with us discussing where somebody is sitting within the company values. This becomes a really powerful tool if you have somebody in the company who isn't a match for what it is that you're looking for. Because if a company value is results and they are not performing against the key performance indicators, KPIs, so the goals that you're setting them on a weekly and monthly basis, when you say, can you rank yourself for results out of 10? If they give themselves an 8, a 9 or a 10, then you're very easily and well within your rights to say, okay, you've given yourself a 10 for this, but this is your KPI. And this is the expectation that we expect to have within your role. And actually, you've underperformed there. So even though you've given yourself an 8, I would actually give yourself a 5. And for us, in order for you to be the right fit for the company, you need to be performing at an 8 and above across all of the company values. And when you are having those types of conversations during your meetings, it's not a surprise if you then say to somebody, I don't think this is working. And what I have found in my experience, when we have been really fastidious at leading with value, often before you even need to say, I don't think this is working out, you will have the employee say to you, look, I don't think this is working out, because you've had the value conversation, you've told them what the expectation is, and then if they can't perform, then it's clear that they shouldn't be in the company. And so that makes those discussions so much easier. So really work with your company values, know what your 4-5 maximum values are, make sure that they know them, make sure that you lead with those values, and then make sure that everybody has their own goals so that you're able to measure their performance against those goals. If people don't know what they're doing, then it makes it really difficult if you feel that they are not doing the job that you want them to do to make it tangible. Number 5, actually letting somebody go. So let's say that the person who is not doing the job that you want them to do doesn't have the self-awareness to exit themselves from the role, then you are going to need to do it. And this is a tip that I got from Leila Hormozi. And I think that it's really, really powerful and potent. And so it is perfect for you to use when, I was going to say when somebody hasn't been working with you for very long, but you know, ultimately, I am sharing all of this with you because I want to shorten the amount of time you have somebody who is not a good fit in the company with you. So I am hoping that you will give somebody a probationary period. You will be clear before the end of that probationary period if that person should be staying or going. If you need to extend a probationary period, the person isn't the right person. So we're going to assume that it is within the 90 days that you have had to get to know somebody. And if they are not working out, then the sentence that you say is, unfortunately, we do not feel that you are the right fit for this company. And it should be obvious against the KPIs and the conversation that you've had around values, why. But if somebody says, are you able to give me feedback? The feedback is based on the company values and your performance against those values, we don't think that you are the right fit. And the reason that this is so powerful is that it does not leave any space for long and protracted arguments about why they think that they're right and you think that they're wrong. It means that you don't have to kind of go digging for stuff, like it's just super clean, super clear, and ultimately quick. And I think that that makes it easier for you, and not necessarily easier to receive that news, but somebody doesn't feel the need to defend themselves, you know, because it just is what it is, what it is. And so I have had to use that, and I thought that it was a really powerful way to lead that conversation. So I want to offer that to you today. So number one, knowing that hiring a team is challenging and that you should be hiring for skill set and character, not character first. Number two, your business is only as strong as your weakest link. Do not shift roles for your staff members. You want to hire for the job that you are hiring for. Number three, red flags in the interview will always be the things that you end up letting people go for. So please do not ignore red flags. Trust your intuition. Number four, use company values and KPIs as a way to make a really tangible picture of what you need somebody to do, and make sure that you're talking to those company values and KPIs in all of your meetings, so that for the self-aware person, they can see if they are not performing against those company values and KPIs, that the job isn't right for them and they will exit themselves. Five, if you are having to let somebody go, the phrase that you get to use is that you are just not the right fit. And if any questions are asked, you can point back to the values and KPI conversation, but you keep it. You don't need to kind of go into detail. You can just say, based on the performance against the company values, it's clear that you're not the right fit for us. And that gets to be the end of the end. So I hope that whether you are new in business and looking to make your first hire, or you are ready to scale to that half a million or seven figure level, and you are looking to grow your team, that you have found this episode really, really helpful. And if you have, I would deeply appreciate it if you are able to just leave me a little review over on Apple Podcasts. The more people say, yay, this is good, the more people Apple show this show to. And I am looking to grow my impact. I want the message of infinite receiving and being able to receive infinitely across all areas of your life to touch as many people as possible. And when you share, when you like, when you let your friends know, you really help me do that. And it is deeply, deeply appreciated. Right, my loves, I cannot wait to be in your earbuds next time. And in the meantime, please remember that faith plus action equals miracles. Thank you for listening to Infinite Receiving with me, Susie Ashworth. I'd love to share with you my Infinite Receiving activation audio. Go to susieashworth.com/activateinfiniteReceiving.